Okay, this is Brother Micah. You're listening to Two Guys, One Mic with Steve and Alan, and I'm glad to be here.
All right, Brother Micah, we're happy to have you.
We're glad to have you. We really are.
Today's an epic day. We got a big celebrity in the room. We had to fight out the paparazzi, but when he came in here, literally...
Yeah, they were crowding him. It was a mob. It was a real mob.
So how's your day going so far?
It's been a great day. Today we came straight from church. Didn't have time to change. Go to the best church and got the best pastor. Today was Pastor Appreciation Day.
You came from Miami, right? All the way from Miami?
No, I came from near the Tampa area.
That's still quite a drive.
Yeah, quite a drive, and we appreciate you having you here. Now, what did you bring with you here today? What do you have with that?
Well, I brought my Bible. Mm-hmm. I bring it everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. I brought my wife, and I brought my water.
There you go. You got to have your water.
And I brought a voice recorder.
Perfect. Now, we want to let everybody know who's tuning in right now. Please try to hold all your calls. We have a special segment where you can call in. It's going to be around 2:40.
You're going to have an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, an hour and 20 minutes to talk with your favorite, you know, the hostess with the mostest over here. So we're going to try to hold off on the calls if you can. Try to refrain from your calling in until 2:40. We'll give you the okay.
All right, so let's get this interview started. All right.
All right, Alan, you had a question for him?
Brother Micah, what do you do here at the UCF campus?
Well, when I get here, I go in the free speech area and I preach the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And you usually gather a crowd, and it's usually quite exciting. And
I got a story. You were here Friday, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, my friend Alan and I—he's my co-host. In case you're just tuning in for the first time, I just got a sub, and I was sitting down waiting for you to show up because I knew you were supposed to be there.
We're both eating.
And we're both eating. We're looking over, and we see you.
You just show up all of a sudden. It's the second you walked on scene.
You're just there. I turn around, I eat another bite, I turn back around, there's got to be 50 people around you already.
Seriously, it was. We were like, what just happened?
I took a bite, turn around, and you already have a crowd. How is it that you get so many people around you so fast? What is it about you?
Is it animal magnetism?
Is it the hat?
Well, it sure wasn't that way on Tuesday. Tuesday was very hard to get a crowd. Mm-hmm. I think that as the week goes on, word gets out, momentum builds, people get angry, upset, frustrated, concerned, and so they're waiting for you to get there, and so as soon as you get there, they want to
they got something to say
or tell you things.
And it's Friday. Everyone gets excited around Friday.
Yeah, everyone's happy on Friday. Everyone's about to go home, but before they go home...
Well, one thing about this campus is this is one of the better campuses on a Friday. Most campuses are very dead on Fridays. There's hardly any people here, but this campus is not like that.
We got 48,000
students. We're the sixth largest university in the nation.
Well, this campus is about as busy as any other day on a Friday, which is unusual.
Well, that's why we're happy to have you here, because when we know you're here, we stick around. We got things to do. No, clear my schedule. I got to go see Brother Micah.
Seriously, in between classes, I used to just go sleep. When you're here, I get up and I go watch you out there.
You make us go to class sometimes, because you're right by my math and physics building. I spend all day in that building. I go to class, come out, see you. Go back to class, come out, and I see you.
Well, I'm glad to be of some benefit around here.
And you do a lot of good. I mean, when you're out here, you're not just trying to, you know, get a crowd out here. You actually have a message to preach, a message that you want people to know, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We believe we have an urgent, all-important, life-or-death message of eternal significance.
That's pretty important.
That pretty much overrides anything else I could
think. Yeah, I was going to say something like who knows what, but eternal significance seems to be a good thing to have.
Yep.
All right, well, what is, if you had to ask one question, if you just come out there and what's the one thing you want to get across to people?
Well, basically, I'm out here to bring the fear of the Lord, because Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it's not talking about academic knowledge or scientific knowledge, talking about a knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. So people can't come into a knowledge of God or a understanding of God, a relationship with God, without the fear of God. And most of the campus groups, most of the churches today in this country are doing everything they can to avoid the fear of God. Mm-hmm. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. People are never going to depart from evil. They're never going to depart from their sin until they fear God. Jesus, you know, the forgiveness of God is not unconditional. The mercy of God is not unconditional. It's conditional upon repentance. Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and 5, except you repent you will all likewise perish. And repentance is not apologizing or saying you're sorry or trying to do better. Repentance is a total change of heart, is to forsake your sin. It's having a 180-degree turn. What you used to love, now you hate.
So you weren't. So if you do this turn, and you get, you know, you're one way, and then you face another way completely, that should be the best way to get to God.
Yeah, at least if you, would you even accept just a small change? I bet you're not accepting a full change immediately. But
it takes time, right? Were you always like this? Were you always someone who, you know, loves God with all his heart, mind, and soul?
Were you always so extreme in your?
Well, it should be. It should be instant. Mm-hmm. It can be instant. The problem is most of the time it's not taught that it can be instant. It's not expected to be instant. And a lot of times the people that are given the message haven't made that change themselves. They're still compromised. They don't love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and their neighbor as himself. I didn't really hear this message preached or taught from people. I learned it from reading the Bible myself. I was living in a compromised condition. I didn't love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself, but I was calling myself a Christian. And I kept reading verses in the Bible that says, "He that commits sin is of the devil." So much for we're all sinners. I kept reading verses that says, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." And a lot of people think that because they name the name of Jesus and they call Jesus Lord, that he is their Lord. But he's not their Lord just because they call him Lord. He's their Lord because they do what he says. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Hebrews 5:9 says that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to them that obey him. And so if people don't obey him, he's not their Savior. Hmm. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Sin is breaking the commandments of God. A person that sins against God does not love God. 1 John 5:3 says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, they're not burdensome." And furthermore, Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other."
Is one master sin and the other one God? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. One master would be sin. If you serve sin, you're serving the devil. If you serve yourself, you're serving the devil. Jesus said in John 8:34, "He that commits sin is the servant of sin." Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." People are serving the one that they obey. If they're committing sin, they're serving sin. They're serving the devil. They're serving themselves.
So you think people that, I don't mean to cut you off right there, but you think people sin some days without even knowing it, like accidental sinning? I mean, is that really be held against them? Like, no. If I don't know I'm sinning accidentally, if I turn on my iPod,
I think I've heard you say this before. If the sin is not made by choice, then it's not truly sin.
Okay, that's an excellent question. A person cannot sin accidentally. You can't sin unknowingly. Sin is not a mistake. The Bible said in 1 John 3:4, "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Sin is something done with knowledge, as an act of choice against light. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." If you don't... Now, people can be... There's such a thing as being willfully ignorant.
Okay.
Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That means they resist the truth, they suppress the truth. They can know the truth, but they choose not to know it.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, so the point's pretty clear in this whole thing.
Yeah. You're kind of scaring me a little bit. I mean, you sound like you've really got a message to get out there, and this is the best way for you to do it.
You sound like once you get started, you can't stop.
Yeah, it's like you're a snowball, for example, and you're the top of this really Christian hill. And someone's sin pushes you over, and that makes you angry. So as you roll down this hill, this snow-falling hill, you gain momentum.
And build up snow.
When do you crash? Because right now you're still rolling. When are you going to crash? Are you going to hit someone who's so unholy and then your snowball is going to just explode?
Like someone skiing down the mountain, like really sinfully?
A sinner, like the devil, is skiing in front of your path. Do you try to avert him or do you just run right into the devil? Smack him.
Well, when I come out here, I'm trying to confront sin head on. The Bible says, he that commits sin is of the devil. Jesus told one of his disciples, one of you is a devil. Mm-hmm. In John 6, John 8:44, Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. And people have this misconception that we're all God's children, and we're not all God's children. 1 John 3:10 says, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. People that are committing sin are children of the devil. They're serving the devil. They're not living for God. We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children.
So if we accidentally step on a bug and we kill that, that's kind of like unknowing sin, right? Like, we didn't mean to step on that bug.
That's not punishable by death, is it?
You didn't mean to. That's not punishable for eternal damnation, is it? I mean, you step on a cockroach just crossing the street. You didn't mean to do that. But sin, you killed that thing, though.
Again, sin is something you do on purpose. So sin is something done with knowledge.
Okay.
So if you have a fly swatter, that's very sinful.
A baby can steal something from another baby. It's a sin to steal, yes, but it's not a sin of that baby because he doesn't know what he's doing.
What age would you say is would you say stealing candy is a sin?
Mm-hmm. That would depend on the person's intellect. Mm-hmm. It would depend upon the development of their conscience. It would depend upon their upbringing.
And that's a smart baby, and he knows that stealing candy is bad.
Have Baby Geniuses, the movie?
Well, it could be 5, could be 12. Some people probably never get to that point. Their brain never develops a point where they can develop a conscience of right and wrong. And if you don't know right from wrong, then you really can't be accountable.
I got a question from one of our listeners just sent in a question. Now, do you mind if I ask you this question that someone just sent in?
I don't mind.
Okay, someone wants to know: rape is a sin, but is the person being raped a sinner because it's sex before marriage? Did nothing wrong. If the person being raped, I mean, like, if you were raping me, you're a lot bigger than I am. I couldn't really do a lot to stop you. But would I be sinning? You know?
Okay, if somebody's raped and they're innocent, they're minding their own business, they don't want to be raped, that's not a sin to that person.
I don't want to be raped, in case you're... I don't want to be raped.
Well, if something's done against your will, then it's not a sin.
Okay.
But now there are a lot of people that dress very, very immodestly.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why women or men dress immodestly is because they have lust in their heart. They want people to check them out.
Apple bottom jeans and the boots with the fur.
Boots with the fur, and everyone's looking at her.
Yeah, because they want people to check them out, and so they're causing people to sin. Now, the person's responsible for sinning themselves. But, you know, Jesus said it must needs be that offenses will come, but woe to that person through whom they come by. Mm-hmm. And so anybody that loves their fellow man is not going to want their fellow man to sin. Mm-hmm. And so when people dress in a way to make people lust after them, to cause them to sexually sin, then they don't love their fellow man. And so they certainly don't love God.
A girl's walking by and she has really nice pants on that show off her quote-unquote badunkadunk. And a guy's looking at that. You know, the guy's committing sin by lusting after her. The same token, the girl who's wearing those jeans that nicely proportion her bottom, she's sinning as well.
Like with the junk in her trunk.
Because she wants the attention, and that's bad.
Yeah, they're both sinning.
The guy
is responsible. Mm-hmm. See, Brother Micah can come out here with all these women dressed immodestly. Mm-hmm. But I'm not lusting after these women.
Right.
I'm not
sure. We have
a choice to do that. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and Mark 7 that an evil eye, evil thoughts, adulteries, and fornications come from the heart. People commit sexual sin not because of their testosterone or their estrogen or their gender. They commit sexual sin because they've got sin in their heart. They've got wicked
Christian
hearts.
Right?
Real Christians do not commit sin.
It's me, though. I can't help it.
When a girl walks down the street, Alan goes out of his way to make sure that he stares at them. So he would be a sinner because of what you're by what you're saying.
Yeah, Alan's a sinner, even though he's got a t-shirt on.
Yeah.
It's got Jesus, it's hell without him.
And that makes fun of the popular got milk thing.
You know.
But instead of having milk, you have Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you don't go to hell.
Yeah, that's essentially what the church says. All right. So let's take this in a new direction. Why don't you tell us about the funniest moment the moment you most enjoyed doing your work.
Across the entire country, the funniest or your favorite time
anything
out here preaching.
Anything along those lines is fine.
I see some funny pictures with you.
Well, you know, I really enjoy preaching at UCF. I love the students here. I love the campus. I love the police and the administrators, and I've had a lot of good memories out here.
I appreciate
it. It'd be hard for me to single out one. I thought it was pretty funny. It was December 1st. When the guy came out here with the Mike is my homeboy t-shirt on.
Everyone got those.
And that same week, I thought it was pretty funny. I don't remember the girl, but I guess she heard me preaching against immodest dress.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came out the next day, dressed like a nun, holding a sign that said, no longer a whore.
Oh, well, that's good. That's always nice.
Yeah, that's good-hearted. That's good intentions, kind of.
But it'd be hard for me to put a... There was a guy out here this week, or not this week, but last week, throwing eggs at me.
What?
That's not funny.
No, eggs are not funny. They're made to be weapons.
Well, you know, fortunately, the majority of the student body didn't support that. Actually, they kind of frowned on it, and I think they were embarrassed.
You know, I wouldn't expect that. I'd actually expect people to enjoy that, but it's a good thing that we really could see the nature of people at Elm, that they frowned upon that. It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, we're not all bad people. We don't want people to harass you or stuff like that. I mean, you're out, you're in the free speech zone.
It's your right.
You know? Well, I'm glad it. I wouldn't say that you're all good people. You're all
wicked
sinners.
That.
You're
we're
selfish.
All, we're all going
not,
to hell.
I mean, I love you, sinners.
Mm-hmm.
But
we appreciate that.
But you're not good people because you don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. And you sin. You live in sin.
Are we like half good people, like a quarter good people? Like if we, like let's say there's a pie, that's good people.
Jesus.
How much of that pie would be
a slice,
us?
Two slices?
Zero.
Zero.
Yes, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other." Jesus
it's
said,
"All or nothing."
Yes, it's all or nothing. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "A good tree can't produce corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree can't produce good fruit." James 2:10 says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." So there is no middle ground. Romans 8:5 says, "They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." James 1:8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways."
Like a schizophrenic? Like, got two minds. So
yeah,
like
craziness.
So we go, like, you can't switch from, I'm going to be a Christian, good Christian today, but tomorrow I'm going to do some bad stuff. I'm going to go out there, I'm going to lust after those lusty hussies.
I'm pretty sure that'd be wrong. What do you have to say about that?
You can't just be two. You can't be both. You're either 100% yay God, or 100% no God. You're bad. I don't want you.
You're either 120% or 0%, right?
There's no middle ground. That's right. Your life is either you either love God with all your heart, soul. See, the difference between a Christian and a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
A sinner is somebody that denies God to please himself.
Ah.
A Christian is somebody that denies himself to please God.
Oh.
Yes.
So a sinner is living to gratify himself. A Christian is living to glorify God. So there's no middle ground.
All right, now on a little bit more serious note on the topic you just brought up. Jewish people believe, and in case you didn't know, Al and I are Jewish.
Yes, we both
that
are.
That smell that you're smelling is Jew.
I thought that you were.
We just had bagels before you came in.
I believe I knew Alan was Jewish because we had a discussion about that.
Right. But now let me just tell you, in the Jewish religion, our religion is more set upon living a good moral life, and it's more reflective on the deeds you do as a person. You know, you do good deeds, you help out the poor, you devote yourself to making sure other people's lives are better, and making sure you yourself are a good moral person.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that we're going to heaven for that.
And it's more based around knowledge of.
Yeah, we don't sit around praying all day because we believe that prayer does not do as much as action does.
It's more community involved and more knowledge sharing and more.
And most religions do preach that. Most religions do want that.
Well, you're the book you say you believe, the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4, says, "Behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is
one,
and to love him with all the heart, with all the soul, and with all the strength."
Mm-hmm.
is the greatest commandment.
Well, it doesn't say spend all your time around that.
So that's the greatest commandment. That's the first thing you're supposed to do. The first commandment in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, is thou shalt have no other gods before me. Mm-hmm. The second commandment is thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images.
Right, false prophets.
Which is worshiping a false god. Mm-hmm. And the New Testament says that covetousness is idolatry. Mm-hmm. So greed, selfishness. Right. However we spend our time and our money, our energy, our talents, is what we love, is what we serve. And so the commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first commandment.
Right.
You can't put the second commandment first and the first commandment second.
Right. But can you abide in order?
There's no. You can't. A person can't love their fellow man properly unless they love God first. There's a lot of people that do moral things for totally selfish reasons. When I was in high school, I played ball.
Mm-hmm. And football, basketball, foosball?
I played football.
Foosball.
Got played football, and after high school, I went into powerlifting. Mm-hmm. But there was times where, you know, I wouldn't go out and get drunk. But right. I long periods of time, everybody thought I was a good guy because I didn't go out and get drunk.
Yeah.
But I didn't go out and do that because I love God. I didn't do it to help my fellow man. I did it because I wanted to be a better ball player.
Right,
that's a good reason.
People do moral things because they want to get ahead in life. A student that comes to college and they don't drink and they don't party and they don't sin, they've got more time to focus on their grades and their school, and they can do all that just to get ahead in life, just to live the American dream and get rich, and my four no more. There's plenty of fathers that don't get drunk, mm-hmm. that they don't cheat, they don't run around, they don't smoke. They provide for their family, and they work hard, and they do all of it for a totally selfish reason.
What's that reason?
They do all of it to keep their family happy, because that makes them happy. And they're not concerned with their fellow man, they're not concerned with the state of their country, and they're not concerned with God.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, so a father who makes sure he provides for his family, makes sure his family loves him, he loves his family, he's happy with what they're doing, he goes to his son's
baseball game,
parent-teacher conferences, stuff like that, he's still going to hell because he doesn't care about his neighbor or God.
Is that true?
Yes, motivation is, intention is very important. Mm-hmm. I could come out... If I come out here and preach with a motive, mm-hmm. to glorify God, if I came out here to preach like some people believe I do, to try to get somebody, they really don't believe that here, but mm-hmm. some places they think I do this. If I go out there and preach to try to get somebody to hit me, so I can get a lawsuit.
No, that's not right.
I would go to hell for that.
Uh-huh.
If I come out here and preach just to for what I can get out of it, because I enjoy it and it glorifies me, then I'm going to go to hell for that. So yes, you can have two people doing the same thing with totally different motivations.
Hmm.
That's true.
Well, that makes me feel like less of a person. But let's go on to the next thing. Are you familiar with Dante's Hell? Have you ever heard of it?
I've heard of it.
You heard it? What it means is that, according to this guy named Dante, this is many years ago, all right, you know, back in 1500s.
Like 1952.
No, earlier than that, actually.
Okay.
Okay, what he says is that there's rings in hell, and that the rings go deeper and deeper in hell.
Not
that,
rings as in, like, finger rings.
No, they're big rings, like 360 degrees. And he says that depending on what you do in your life, depending on who you are as a person and how, quote-unquote, bad you've been, you go to a certain depth of hell. The lowest point in hell, the lowest point in hell is for traitors and people who backstab.
The worst kind of people.
Yeah, they're evil. Now, in Brother Micah's hell, who would you put on the lowest ranks besides Jews?
I mean, who do you think are the worst? The worst of the worst. Like, mm-hmm. You don't think we're the worst or the worst, do you?
You are, personally. Alan's the
worst. No, not me, but I do.
All right, first off, I want to make a comment here.
Go ahead.
I want to say that I do believe that not all sin is equal. I believe that all sin is equal in a sense that all sin will send you to hell. Mm. But all sin will not be punished equally in hell. There are degrees of punishments in hell. There are degrees of rewards in heaven.
Okay.
Jesus said in Matthew 10:15, it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you. It's going to be more tolerable for certain people on judgment day than others. Jesus said in Luke chapter 20, verse 47, he said to the Pharisees that you shall receive the greater damnation. Jesus said in Matthew, John 19, 11, when he was delivered over to Pilate, he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin. Mm-hmm. Romans 2, 5 and 6 says, after your hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up for yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Luke, and I'm getting to the answer here, which, more specifically what you want to hear.
Yeah, go on.
Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48 says, that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Mm-hmm. But he that did commit things worthy of stripes, but knew not his Lord's will, shall be beaten with few. So there are some people in it are going to get many stripes, and some people are going to get few stripes, and it depends upon how much knowledge they've had, how much access they've had to the Word of God and to truth. Somebody in America that grows up in America with Bibles everywhere, mm-hmm. churches everywhere, mm-hmm. Gospel radio everywhere, is going to be a lot more accountable to walk in truth and walk in light of God than somebody who's never had access to a Bible, mm-hmm. who's never had access to Christianity. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Mm-hmm. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29, it says that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord.
I don't like knowledge, but I don't think I hate it.
Yeah, it's like no one likes knowledge, really.
Okay, so back to the Dante Micah hell thing. I'm gonna throw an example out there,
okay.
And you tell me, like, on a 1 to 10 scale, how bad this person
like
is.
Like levels, this thing of this level is 10 to
like an elevator, for example.
Okay.
Yeah, like you go to level 10, you're closer to the ground.
Okay, so
I don't believe a child that steals a candy bar deserves the same punishment as a mass murderer.
Really?
Bin Laden,
really?
For example.
Okay, so let's say you're dead now, hypothetically, because you're not dead. You walk in your elevator, and your elevator is not going up. You know, you see the heavens and the clouds and the halos and hear the angels, but you're going down. So where would someone get off? What floor would they get off on? Let's say they punched you in the face. That's a sin. They hit somebody. You know, that's bad. Would they go higher or lower than someone who didn't punch you in the face?
Took the last cookie from the box.
And didn't refill it. You know, it's hypothetical. It's real. We're not getting too technical here.
Yeah, just, it's what you. What do you think on that?
How low can you go on the hell scale?
Well, I'd say that the way I understand it,
mm-hmm.
A murderer, a rapist,
mm-hmm.
Is going to get a greater punishment than a thief.
Okay.
Right.
Understandable. Now. Like Dante's hell, the lowest was being a traitor. Do you think blaspheming your country, like the guy who went to Iraq and helped Al Qaeda?
Yeah, that guy's a traitor.
He's a traitor. Now, how high would he be? Because he did a no-no by traitoring the U.S. Uncle Sam hates him pretty much.
Hey, he'd spit in Uncle Sam's face.
Well, I don't know if a traitor would get the lowest hell or not. I don't know. I don't think I agree with that. The Bible calls certain things an abomination.
Ooh.
The Bible said in Exodus. Leviticus, mm-hmm. Chapter 20, verse 13, if a man lies with a man as he lies with a woman, then it's an abomination.
Ooh.
Homosexuality is an abomination to God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers.
Right. While you get on this point, if you see that little light blinking, that means someone's calling in.
Yeah,
if you want to take a call, you just say, Give me a little notification, because I'm sure when you hit this next topic,
whatever you guys want to do, it looks like it's about 2:30 to me. Mm-hmm. If you want to start taking calls now, if you want to wait 10 minutes, that's either way is fine with me.
Look, there you are on the screen. You see yourself?
That's Brother Mike.
Yeah, everyone can see you on nightcast.org.
On the interweb thing.
Internet, actually, I think is what they call it.
Okay, so go on to the part about the homo whoremongering or homosexuals, because I'm sure we're gonna get some people who want to hear this.
Sure. First off, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 says, homosexuals and sodomites will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I do believe that Jesus died to save homosexuals, and homosexuals can be saved if they turn from their homosexual lifestyle.
You turn that cheek the other way.
Yeah.
Well, I like to say it like this. Jesus will cause a homosexual to go straight.
Oh.
Jesus will cause a feminist to submit. Jesus will cause a drunkard to go sober. Romans chapter 1, verse 26 through 28 says, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." So God calls homosexuality vile, unnatural, reprobate, and unseemly. He said it's an abomination. He said in Revelation 21:8, "The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone."
So, Brian Boitano, Harry Potter, the Abominable Potter, Snowman. Sure.
Oh yeah, Harry Potter. Flavor Flav.
Are you familiar with Flavor Flav?
You know, actually, I am familiar with Flavor
Really?
Flav. You know how I'm familiar with Flavor Flav?
Why?
Well, back in the days when Brother Michael was a sinner, and I was listening to Vanilla Ice, I saw Vanilla Ice on, I think it was Arsenio Hall.
Really?
Really? He's also a sinner, by the way.
Arsenio Hall.
And, Arsenio Hall. And they invited, Vanilla Ice invited this guy out there, Flavor Flav.
Mm-hmm.
So I have heard of him, but I don't know any of the music that he makes.
I don't know if he actually does make music
does.
So much as...
I think he's crazy.
I think he's
like,
sponsored by
career,
Rolex.
His career is craziness, pretty much.
But back on the things that make perfect sense. So, there are a lot of people out there going to hell.
The majority of people are going to hell.
Right, well, we deserve
Jesus,
it.
Jesus said so. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13 and 14, "Enter at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." Jesus
straight,
said...
It doesn't mean, like, straight, like, sexual orientation-wise. That's not like a play on words that God put in there.
Or, like, straight, like, that's straight.
Well, it certainly should be. It includes that.
Okay.
There's
no rainbows in heaven.
See, and people are going to hell because the Bible says, 1 John 1:5, that God is light. And John 3:19 and 20 says, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world." God is light. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light. Neither comes to the light lest his deed should be reproved. You know, people have this idea that if Jesus was here, everybody would just love him and appreciate him so much.
I say hi.
But that is not true. That's not biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said in John 15:25, he said, "They hated me without a cause." He said in John 7:7, "The world," not the Pharisees, not the religious crowd, "but the world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." Jesus claimed that the world hated him. Why? Because he testified to the world that their works, their deeds, their lifestyle was evil and wicked.
They didn't want to hear that.
Romans 8:7 says, "For the carnal mind is a mind that seeks its own gratification rather than the glory of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be."
Right.
Anybody that lives in rebellion against God is an enemy of God. You know, people want you to preach reconciliation, to be reconciled to God, but people that aren't enemies don't need to be reconciled. People need to be reconciled because they're enemies of God, and the reason why they're enemies of God is because of sin. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life."
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, now you're taking a breath right now. That's good.
Yeah.
We're the evil people that you're talking about. We're actually gonna let them call in. We're gonna take a quick break. You know, gather your things.
They actually have phones. Yeah.
Right. So what we're going to do is
quick commercial break.
And when we come back, we're going to let the callers call in.
So everyone, grab your phones and give a call.
Remember, the number is 407-823-4585. We'll see you back in 5 minutes.
Yeah. With Brother Micah.
Caller, you're on the air. How can we help you today?
Hi, this is Stephanie Berman from Cooper City, Florida.
Hey, Stephanie.
How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
All right, we're here with Brother Micah. You got a question for him?
Not a question so much as kudos. I think it's really great what he's doing, and the fact that he's actually putting himself out there and talking about what he believes in, and that you guys are being so open-minded.
Yeah, thank you.
Letting him say what he has to say. And just, you know, opening up his base so other people can hear. I think that's great.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, you're a nice girl, Stephanie.
Oh, thanks.
Brother Micah, do you want to say something to this fine young woman?
Well, I was kind of surprised. I was waiting for the butt to come, but it never came.
You don't have any butt well, problems, do you?
No, that's it. Just that it's great.
Look at you.
Well, thank you there. I'm kind of surprised.
You're winning parts of America, one by one.
You know what? He's a great guy. He's actually quite attractive. Not that because we're already going to hell. We can't be gay as well, but...
You know, we're already done, so let's just get out there.
All right, Stephanie, thank you for calling in. And Brother Micah, do you have anything to say to her?
Any farewell wishes?
Read your Bible, turn from sin, turn to Jesus Christ, live in obedience to God, sin will send you to hell.
That's it. That's all I got to remember.
Okay, thank you.
You have a great
day, Stephanie. Good luck with that, Stephanie.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
Taking more callers.
If you want to call in, once again, 407-823-4585. We're here with Brother Micah. Alan, any thoughts on what's going on right now?
You know what? To be honest, I was actually just shocked with what just happened. Do you know the woman that just called?
Do I know her?
Yes.
That's my sister.
Yeah.
I thought so, because Cooper City.
Yeah, Cooper City.
I knew you're from that neck of the woods.
Your brain little chemistries are going off. You're thinking. You got all wheels turning.
Yeah. You know, I was pretty impressive, Stephanie. It was that. You know what? That was one thing to say.
That was Steve's sister.
That was my sister.
Okay, embrace Jesus as your Messiah.
Right. I tell you that every day, Stephanie. Do I not, Stephanie? You got to embrace the Messiah.
We got a smirk from Brother Micah.
Look at him. He's a real person, not a robot.
Yes.
Look at
that. Everyone, this is the lighter side of the mic. We got another caller.
All right, 1 second.
Look at them. It's ringing off the hooks.
Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, hello.
All right, who's this?
This is Zach Berman.
Oh, it's Zach Berman, also a Berman. Now, where do you live, buddy?
NC State in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Now, you've been there, haven't you, Brother Micah?
Yeah, I was there two days.
He comes up to NC State, and I've got actually two questions for him.
Hey, go ahead, shoot.
Yeah, he's smarter than I am, so be ready for this.
Hi.
Go ahead.
That's a good question.
Okay, I've got two questions. This is Zach Berman.
Go ahead. That's not a question, by the way.
There you go, shoot. Go ask your questions.
I want to know... I want to know, why he's not a cold weather fan? We haven't seen him up here for a couple months.
How come you don't visit NC State? Is that what your question is?
Yeah, why didn't he come up to NC State?
Oh, well, I really enjoyed my time up there at NC State. NC State has got very difficult procedure there from getting on the campus, unlike Chapel Hill. I would have came there more often, but you have to get all this advanced permission, and then they limit your time, and you guys are wild. You all need some preaching out there.
You guys are crazy.
I think you got worse sinners up there than you do here.
Wow, that's hard to imagine.
Zach, our sinners will fight your sinners any day. And
we will out-sin your sin. Or no.
Yeah, we can out-sin your sin.
Yeah, that was a pretty wild campus.
Mm-hmm. Zach, you still there, buddy?
Yes, I am.
Are you aware of how much you sin?
I am absolutely aware of how much I sin. I have one more question for him. Is it worse to be an atheist or a homosexual?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Is that comparing apples to apples or like bad apples to bad apples?
Well, they'll both send you to hell.
Okay. Like I was saying, the levels of hell are atheists.
Technically, all homosexuals are also atheists. They have to they have to make a step to reject God. If you follow the passage there, if you follow Romans chapter 1, how it starts out, by them resisting the truth and unrighteousness. Romans 1:18. I don't know if I want to. I've quoted part of it earlier, but
just give me a Reader's Digest version of Romans chapter 18.
The book summary, the back cover.
Well, Romans 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." So right there, they're resisting the truth of God.
That was a shorter version.
No, okay. For then, verse 20 says, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Anyhow, then you end up the passage there with going into homosexuality.
So
all homosexuals have made a conscious decision to resist the true knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so have atheists.
So Ellen DeGeneres and Karl Marx are going to be in the same depth of hell, right?
That's right.
Okay, Zach, anything else for Brother Micah?
No, just looking forward to month here soon.
Oh yeah, I'll be up there as fast as I can, I promise.
All right. Okay,
hey, stop sending, seriously.
You gotta stop, man.
No more sin.
I'll try my best.
All right, have a good day, buddy.
Isn't Berman a Jewish name?
Berman is very Jewish. And if you're in my family, you're Jewish by bloodline.
Oh, is that your...
That's my cousin.
Wow, yeah,
okay.
That's my entire family. Right?
Yeah, any other Bermans that want to call in or anybody else? Any Lips want to call in?
Except, it's going to be more calls.
So. His last name is Lip, which isn't as Jewish.
Lipstein.
It's not Lipstein, it's Lip.
Or Lipschitz.
Yeah, but we're not watching Rugrats. We're watching Alan. Your last name is Lip.
We're watching Alan. We're on radio. How are we watching Alan?
I don't know. You lost me now.
Oh, I got another caller. Look at this.
Look at this. All right. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Berman?
Who is this?
Alicia,
what's up, buddy? You got a question for Brother Micah?
Yeah, I got a question for Brother Micah.
Go ahead. Lay it on him.
Hey, Brother Micah. Are you preaching condemnation or are you preaching salvation?
Well, there's no need for salvation unless you preach condemnation. I'm not out here condemning you. I'm letting you know that you're condemned. You were condemned. I'm speaking general here. People don't need salvation unless they're condemned. They don't need forgiveness unless they're damned. They don't need reconciliation to God unless they first realize they're enemies of God. I don't know who's telling them that they're condemned. It's not Rosie O'Donnell.
It's
not Oprah Winfrey. It's not MTV. It's not Hollywood.
No.
It's not Hillary or Obama. Certainly, it's not the campus ministries, and it's not most churches. So I'm out here preaching the law of God. The Bible said in Paul, Romans 7:7, Paul said, I had not known sin, but by the law. I had not known lust, except the law that said, thou shalt not covet. Only sick people need a doctor. Only sinners need a savior. Only damned people need salvation. Only condemned people need forgiveness. And so I'm out here to make people see their need of Jesus Christ.
Alicia, did I answer your question?
Yeah, well, in full.
I believe Jesus died to save a person from sin, not to save him in sin. Matthew 1:21 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. If you save a drowning man from drowning in the water, you don't leave him in the water. If he's still in the water, he's not saved from the water. If a person's in a burning building and you don't get him out of the building, then he's not saved while he's still in the fire. In order to save him from the fire, you got to get him out of the fire.
Jesus
is a firefighter.
All right. So why do you have to judge people?
That's a better question.
Well, why do you have to judge people? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 7:17-18. In verse 15, he said. Verse 20 says, you will know them by their fruits. He says, you'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. A good tree can't produce corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree can't produce good fruit. God is not going to cast fornication into hell. He's going to cast fornicators into hell. God is not going to cast homosexuality into hell. He's going to cast homosexuals into hell. God's not going to cast gangster rap into hell. He's going to cast gangster rappers into hell. And if Jesus said to beware of false prophets. Now, the only way to know if somebody is from God or not from God is you got to judge them by what they're saying and judge them by their lifestyle. We are supposed to judge. We're supposed to judge according to the Bible. Hypocrites are not supposed to judge. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 7. He's not telling you not to make righteous judgments, because you've got to judge whether somebody's from God or not. He's condemning unrighteous judgments, which is saying something is right that's wrong, or saying something wrong is right. It's calling evil good and calling good evil. That's an unrighteous judgment. He's also condemning hypocrites. hypocritical judgments. If I was a fornicator, I wouldn't have any right to judge a homosexual.
Let's make it clear. What is a fornicator by definition again?
Yes.
A fornicator is somebody having sex outside of marriage.
Okay.
If I was a gangster rapper, I don't have a right to judge somebody being a rock and roller. If I'm a drunkard, I don't have a right to judge somebody for smoking pot or being a crackhead. Before you can judge righteous judgment, you've got to get the sin out of your own life. Jesus said in John 7:24, judge righteous judgment. He said in 1 Corinthians 2:15, he that's spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. 1 Corinthians 6 says, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? How much more things that pertain to this life? Leviticus 19:15 says, in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Philippians 1:9, Paul said, this I pray, that your love may abound, yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. If you're not supposed to judge, how are you going to know what's right and wrong?
Alicio, can you answer that question?
Yeah, I think he's got himself backed up pretty well.
All right. So then, if somebody would want to be saved, want to confess the sinner's prayer, would you lead them through it, or what would you do?
If somebody wanted to pray, a lot of people pray the sinner's prayer, and they're just as big a devil after they pray the sinner's prayer as they were before they prayed the sinner's prayer. The people that need to repent. The Bible says that, see, I'm not out here to make people feel good. I'm out here to make people feel...
You're not the feel-good guy?
You guys know that.
You're not Dr. Feel-Good?
I'm not Dr. Feel-Good. Preachers aren't supposed to be making people feel good about their sin. I'm not here to make people feel bad about their sin. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow works or produces repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. In order to get saved, there's got to be repentance. In order to have repentance, you got to have godly sorrow. Godly sorrow involves guilt. I want people to see their responsibility, their duty, their obligation, their guilt in their failure to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Alicia, are you still there? Hello? All right. We lost Alicia.
That's all right.
He must have gotten nervous.
He must be ringing off the hooks, really.
I don't know. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi,
who is this?
This is Chris.
Hey, Chris,
turn down your internet real quick, so then we can hear you.
All right.
Well, I don't know how you turned down the internet, but even still.
All right, I'm going.
Chris, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Is this Chris Matthews from Nightline?
Yeah.
No way.
How you doing, man?
You're great.
I watch the show all the time. Do you have a question or comment for Brother Micah?
This. Go ahead.
I had a quick comment for Brother Micah. I just wanted to thank him for him making everybody hate Christianity so much, and I think he should take his hat off so he doesn't look like a...
Alright, Chris Hansen from NBC, thank you for hanging up on us.
I appreciate the tolerance there.
Yeah.
Is that sarcasm?
You're not being sarcastic, are you?
Well, everybody we're supposed to be tolerant. You sounded kind of intolerant, critical, judgmental, and condemning.
How would you judge that person? What would you think they are? How would they sin that most, that person? How does that person sin?
Well, I just know he's a general God-hater.
You're a general God-hater, Chris Hansen.
But, you know, I want to address this here. The thing is...
Explain what he asked without Bible verses. So we know you're still... Caller, whoever's calling right now, try to call back in a little bit.
Do you want to take it?
Well, we can take it.
Take it. All right, Brother Micah says take it.
Brother Micah, choose the
He's the ringleader. Caller, you're on the air.
Berman and Scott...
Hey, Scott, you got a question for the brother man?
Of course.
Lay it on him.
What do you think of the second coming?
Well, I know he's coming. I know that he's coming. I don't know when. The Bible says that no one knows when.
Wait, so we're not confused. Who is he?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 Verse 7-9 says, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In In Titus 2:11 and 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It says in Jude verse 15, 14 and 15 says, says Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all them that are ungodly, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. One thing I know is that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot and blemish.
So, Scott, did that answer your question about the second coming of Jesus?
Yeah. I actually want to know what he's going to do when he gets here.
Oh, what, the Bible, those
Scott,
verses
what
just...
What do you think he's going
to
do?
He's Jesus. He can do whatever he wants to do.
What is he going to do to the sinners?
He's going
to
destroy them. Did you hear the verses that I quoted? Didn't you listen to the verses that I quoted? Second Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11... says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The works also, the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ?
Sing.
Absolutely. Amen.
So he's going to take the Christians out of here, and he's going to bring judgment and wrath upon the wicked, those that rejected him.
Wrath.
Is that clear? Scott,
clear?
We're driving under a tunnel. I think we're losing service. All right. That was great. Thank you for that answer.
All right. Wow, look at this. This is amazing.
Can we take another caller, Brother Micah?
Whatever you want.
Ready for this?
Just bring him on. He's ready.
Caller, you're on the air. Hey, caller, you have a question for Brother Micah?
Yes, you're calling me.
You had a question for Brother Micah?
Yes.
Ask it.
Turn down the speakers, by the way.
Oh, there must be a delay because I just told you that I could ask him a question.
Okay, but turn down your speakers and ask Brother Micah your question.
Yeah, we can't understand
you. Hi,
Brother Micah.
Hi. This is Steven Scopentary.
Go ahead.
It's very hard to understand you.
Don't talk under the phone too much.
Yeah, let's back up. Remember, people know who you are now, so keep it clean. So.
Keep it clean.
I am keeping it clean.
Well, ask your question before I hang up on you.
Okay. I was asking a question about how you're talking about homosexuals.
You hear what she said?
Yeah, about a question about talking about homosexuals.
What's the question?
Okay, the question is that certain priests choose to live with a homosexuality wife, who are also dedicated to God. So how do you feel about that matter?
I didn't really understand everything you said. I can't.
Some priests choose. She says even though the priests are fully devoted to God, some of them also choose to be, or sometimes they don't choose to be, depends on how you believe versus nature versus nurture. They choose to be batting for your other team.
Yeah. Nobody that's molesting children. Nobody that's a homosexual is fully devoted to God. Mm. Remember, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. People can call Jesus Lord all they want to, but he's not their Lord if they're not doing what he says. Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. Molesting children is not loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, people can say whatever they want. Titus 1:16 says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Oh. And besides that, Brother Micah does not believe that Catholics are real Christians. 1 John 2:3 and 4 says, hereby we do know that we know God if we keep his commandments. He that says he knows God and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
So Catholics don't keep the commandments? Catholics, what do Catholics do that they don't keep the commandments?
What's the difference between yourself and Catholics?
What are you, by the way, besides sexy?
Yeah.
Well, what I meant was, what are you?
Well, I'm a born-again, Bible-believing Christian.
Yeah, but as far as labeling
I've been told
you...
I've been told names like Presbyterian and like, to be honest,
are you Buddhist?
I would be Pentecostal.
A Pentecostal Buddhist?
I'm not a Buddhist. Oh. There's no such thing as a Christian Buddhist. There's no such thing as a Muslim Christian. There's no such thing as a homosexual Christian. There's no such thing as a fornicating Christian. There's no such thing as a Hindu Christian.
There's no such thing as a boogeyman.
Mm-hmm. All right, caller, did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
No problem. Have a great day. All right, so there's no homosexual Christians. There's no Catholic Christians. Mormons, Christians. Are there Mormons, Christian? They don't even have birthdays, and if they don't have birthdays, they gotta do something right. They don't celebrate Halloween. Mormons don't celebrate Halloween.
Do Christians celebrate Halloween?
Do you?
Mormons? No, I don't know. Of course not.
No,
Mormons.
Naturally.
No, Mormons are not Christians.
Mm. Is Mitt Romney a Christian?
No.
But he's running for president. Don't have to be Christian to be president.
That's a rule. I don't
believe that a Christian will get a real Christian will get elected president of the United
Brother
States.
Michael,
this country is too ungodly; they wouldn't vote for him.
Caller, you're on the air. How can I help you today?
You guys hear me all right?
You are probably the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. So back away from your speaker a little bit.
Yeah, like don't make out with anyone.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, take it down a little bit. Take it down a couple notches with the voice.
That good?
Yeah, you're perfect.
Who is this, by the way? Who is this?
This is John.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Okay, I had a question regarding food, the association of sin with food. I'm a frequent eater of, like, jelly sandwiches, and I just want to know, like, when you cut, like, you know how some cut peanut butter has nuts in it? Is that sinful to have the extra nuts? Is that gluttony to have
chunky peanut butter? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. If you have the nuts in the peanut butter, is that
if you enjoy it, I'm pretty sure.
If you lust after your nuts, you're probably sinning. If you really want those nuts more than you want God, you're probably sinning, and you don't even know it.
What's your response?
I would like to hear from Brother Micah. Is it dishonorable to have the kind of peanut butter that has the nuts in it, or does it have...
It's actually dishonor to ask stupid questions.
Well,
all right.
Well, I kind of like some bread with nuts in there. I like wheat bread with some... You know, nuts in there.
Well, that's fine.
Not too big. Not too big.
But you know, this guy's. I don't think he has a good bone in his body.
No, probably not. He's probably got a good bone somewhere else.
I think that was a joke.
He might not have been serious. I don't think he's serious because peanut butter enthusiasts, one, they don't listen to the internet, and two, they don't love God. Peanut butter enthusiasts.
George Washington Carver.
But I don't think he loved.
I believe he was. He probably was a Christian. I believe he was a Christian. From what I know about the man, I believe he was a Christian.
Yeah, actually, I think you're right about that. So peanut butter is a pretty good.
Product. Actually, I think he really gave credit that God gave him the revelation of how to make all those inventions out of peanuts.
Like lots of them. There's like roasted peanuts. There's
moral peanuts.
Yeah, but he came up with a lot of inventions from peanuts too.
Peanut butter? Now he gave credit to God. What about people who like win the Academy Award, for example, and they go up there and say, "I want to thank God and Jesus for this award"? But really, I don't really know what God and Jesus did for making their hit single or their million-dollar movie.
He allowed it.
Well, in 2 Timothy 3:5 says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." There's a lot of people that have a form of godliness. They name the name of Jesus Christ. Again, I keep saying these verses over and over again. I don't want to keep saying them, but I'll say them if I need to. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven."
Yeah,
you call Jesus all you want. You call him Lord, but he's not your Lord because you call him Lord. He's your Lord because you obey him.
Speaking of caller,
I'll just add this, if it's okay.
Really,
I don't see how anybody in the Hollywood industry could be a Christian.
Right. Not even Mel Gibson. Go ahead, caller.
Steven Spielberg.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Brendan, what's going on, dude? Josh.
What's up? Who's this? Josh?
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, you got a question for the brother, man?
Yeah, I do. I got a question. What's going on? How you doing?
All right, go ahead. What's the question?
Question is, Michael, what do you think about the statement, Jewish people are the chosen people?
Well, God did choose the nation of Israel. Not, if I could say it like this, God didn't choose them because they're special. They were special because God chose them. He chose to use Israel to bless the world. Israel was given the revelation of the true God, and it was their responsibility to share that revelation with the rest of the world, but they largely failed in doing that, and so God began to raise up Gentiles to do that.
Yep. So really, we're not that special. God just chose us.
Well, God has a special plan for the nation of Israel.
Are we all supposed to be accountants?
And the Jewish people in general as a whole. But as far as individually, every person, you know, nobody's got a free ticket to heaven. God is just. He's not
a scam.
He is not a Bible says that God, Romans 2:11 says God is no respecter of persons. The Bible says Matthew 16:27, Jesus is going to judge every man according to his works. Romans 2:6, he's going to render to every man according to his deeds. And so any Jewish person that rejects Jesus as their Messiah, as their Savior, will end up in hell.
Josh, did that answer your question about us being chosen? Do you feel a little less special as I do?
Yeah, I'm kind of discouraged, right? I mean,
you know what? You know what helped you? If you converted on the spot.
Yeah, right now.
Could you convert on the phone?
What?
Could you convert on the phone?
I would just Mike, can I convert on the phone? I mean,
oh, you could, yeah. I don't think you're ready.
Are you, Josh? Are you ready? Are you strapped down, buckled in, ready to turn your cheek away from sin?
Ready to forsake all your sin and commit yourself unconditionally to God, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and live in obedience to Him?
It's a serious thing.
Count the cost.
Josh?
Yeah, I'm
deal or no deal?
No more drunkenness.
Can you handle the heat?
Oh, Alan killed it.
No more pot. No more.
I don't know.
No more premarital sex.
Hey, Josh, thanks for calling in, buddy.
Bye, Josh.
See you later, guys.
No, you know what? See, this is good.
A lot of people are not having premarital sex, but they are watching pornography.
No, in this day and age, people still do that.
Well, with the internet, no, I've seen it.
So when you log on the internet, people don't always go to nightcast.org to watch.
They're not doing their homework, Stephen.
You know this world. I don't like it.
A lot of the students on this campus are not fornicators, but they're fornicators at heart. They're adulterers at heart. Jesus said in Matthew 5:27, "You have heard it said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looks on somebody with lust has already committed adultery with them in their heart."
So if you're lusting after Jenna Jameson on your computer screen, that's a big no-no.
I've never done that before.
That's right.
Well, all right. Well, I got to get a new homepage. More importantly, who is the most important real Christian you've ever met? Like, have you actually met a real Christian face to face? You guys just locked eyes and you knew you were
a rare breed, aren't they?
Godly love.
My wife is a real Christian.
Oh, she is.
Where is she, by the way?
I don't know where she went.
She disappeared.
Sister Elizabeth, if you can hear us, please follow my voice into the studio.
Sister Elizabeth, please meet us in the lobby.
Could you actually command her to come in? Or ask her nicely?
If I see her.
What could she be doing right now?
She's on the floor, isn't she?
Maybe she went to the ladies' room.
Mm-hmm. Restroom.
My pastor's a real Christian.
Now, how do you honestly?
I know a lot of people that are real Christians.
How do you know your pastor doesn't sin? And if he did sin, do you think he'd tell you?
Well, because I spend time with him. I know him. Hmm. So
does Mel Gibson sin?
Of course, yeah. Mel Gibson sins.
I mean, he did make that movie, and he is, like, you know...
And he did say he doesn't like Jews. I mean, it's not a, like... A
no, you know what? He had a DUI. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but I knew he's a Catholic.
Oh, that makes him... That's a big no-no right on the start. Alan, any more questions for Brother Micah?
Let me see my list.
Anybody out there who has questions for Brother Micah, don't forget, you can still call in. 407-823-4585.
It is renowned around UCF. Your arm wrestling skills. Now Stephen was telling me before he could beat that guy. Like
wait, I didn't say that. What are you trying to get at, Alan?
I just want to see if you're for real. Do you think of?
Are you doubting Brother Micah now? He's gonna kill me now.
Would you be up for an arm wrestling competition? A friendly arm wrestling competition.
I think Brother Mike is going to hurt me now.
Oh, I'd rather not, but if you guys want to.
Alan, do you want to arm wrestle Brother Micah?
I don't know if I...
You can arm wrestle Sister Elizabeth while I arm wrestle Brother Micah.
I got it in me right now.
All right. Can I get a photo documentation? All
right, this ain't no tacky match, so it's just you. No guy, just you.
Legal out of this. Just you and Alan. Mono on whatever Alan is.
Oh, my God. I'm going to die.
All right, so in case you guys are just tuning in right now, Brother Mike is about to arm wrestle Alan Liff, so I hope Alan was eating his Wheaties today. Oh, man. The suit is coming off. Alan is stretching. He's doing a little jumping jacks kind of thing. All right, Brother Micah Armstrong versus Alan Liff. Ready? On your mark. Get set. Go.
Oh, my God. I heard 10 crack. Oh, God.
And that's it. And
no,
that's all she wrote.
I pinned him about as fast as the world champion pinned me when I arm wrestled the world champion in 1987.
His arm is lifting me off the ground.
I think Alan just got a dose of reality. Do you want to convert now?
If you
did that instead of preaching, if you just arm wrestle everybody you met and if they lose, to convert, you'd have a whole following behind you.
Do you know there is a preacher that I've never met him, but he came. I know he's preached here before. Who was at one time the world arm wrestling champion?
That is pretty cool. That's a pretty cool preacher, in my opinion. Yeah, that's some cool conversation you can bring up.
What was his name? Was that Brother Jesse?
Jeremiah,
the bullfrog.
Do you remember?
I've seen him. He's the tall white guy. Is that him?
Yeah, I've never met him in person. How do you know Jesse?
Brother Jesse? How do I not know Brother Jesse? He's been here before.
Oh yeah, so
Brother Jesse's been here before.
JP, was that him?
JK.
No, JK.
JK, yeah, he was here. He was here.
Oh, right. JK is a different person from
me. Do you like JK?
Oh, yeah.
Brother JK scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, I know JK.
He's actually quite very intimidating.
We knew each other in Miami, and we used to preach together every week.
Codespondence preaching. So you arm wrestled the ex-champion without meeting him? What was that?
I think he said he wrestled the world champion and lost and lost in the same time it took him to kill me.
In 1987 at Kendall Toyota. In Miami.
Wow.
That was an epic point in history, really.
So. That's like a turning point in your life, probably.
All right, we're still accepting callers. We'll continue talking.
We're going to take a quick break real quick. When we come back, we're going to have more questions, and we're going to get a fresh topic for Brother Micah. We're going to leave you with the Beastie Boys, because we like them. Alan, got any more questions for Brother Micah? Anything else you can...
We got a caller.
Caller, you're on the air. How can I help you?
I just wanted to ask Brother Micah,
Who is this?
Identify yourself.
Adam Sheriff.
Adam Sheriff, hey, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I know you.
Hey.
Go ahead, question for Brother Micah, go ahead.
How does he react when ladies try to pick him up?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever tried to pick up before by a lovely woman?
I'm sure you have. You're quite dandy and... Stop
in here. Hey, Adam, turn your computer down a little bit, buddy.
We can hear the feedback. Turn that down, please.
All right, go ahead. Answer the question.
I don't have that problem. I don't.
What?
I don't have that problem. I don't make eye contact. Mm-hmm. I stay. My body language, my body posture, all that is opposed to that.
So if like for example, let's say Jessica Alba was. Walk around, and she's dressed modestly. Jessica Alba's dressed very modestly. She's keeping to herself, but she just kind of shrugs in your shoulder and goes, hey, Brother Micah,
what you working with?
Well, you wouldn't go with Jessica Alba?
No, I wouldn't. The Bible says, flee.
From Jessica Alba?
2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lusts. Now, you guys, you need to learn how to flee youthful lusts. 1 okay. Corinthians 6 says to flee fornication.
Adam, are you fleeing from fornication?
Joseph was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife tempted him every day, try to seduce him to lay with her and commit adultery. And you know what Joseph did?
What did Potiphar do?
Joseph ran out of the house.
Good point, by the way. Let's say you could have chosen another profession in your life. Like, instead of a full-time preacher man, what a, like, full-time contractor? Like, something like that.
Do you want to be, like, an astronaut? Oh, we have a call on that note.
Huh. Caller, you're on the air. How can I help you?
I accidentally hung up. I just wanted to tell Steve asked me if I flee youthful lusts, and I'm just saying no.
Oh, you don't? Okay, he doesn't. Sinner, I'll take Brother Micah's words out of his mouth. Sinner, you need to repent for ye to be undo nith save nith dist. Right?
word for word, verbatim.
First Corinthians chapter 10 says, "Flee ye all
youthful lust.
From youthful lust." Okay, thank you, Adam.
No problem.
Bye. Right. I helped you out there. I finished that one. Is that what First Corinthians even says?
Flee ye from
First Corinthians 6 says, "Flee fornication."
Okay, well, I was close.
And Second Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee youthful lust."
All right, Brother Micah, I have a very important question for you. Well, first of all, do you agree with are you opposed pre-marriage girlfriends? No kissing, no sexual relations. Are you opposed to girlfriends for teenagers?
If you can court a young, fair mistress without...
You take them to restaurants and movies. Is there
right. Well, there's a difference between courting and dating. Dating is trying. Courting is you're getting to know that person with the intention to get married.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big difference. I'm not opposed to courting. Mm-hmm. I am opposed to dating.
Right.
I didn't date before I got married.
Is that by choice or?
Yes, it's by choice.
Okay.
Yeah, it was by choice.
Okay.
Somebody said dating prepares you for divorce. Because you meet somebody, you get attracted, you like each other, and you break up, and then you do it again, and you break up, then you do it again, and you break up,
and then you get
married, and then you do the same thing. Because once all the excitement and the fantasy of it wears off, then you break it off.
But see, that's
not true love.
But that's
love,
the beauty of your role playing.
Love is a commitment.
Love is a battlefield, right?
That Pat Benatar said that, but
is she going to hell?
If she hasn't repented, she's going to hell. Okay, yes, I don't know what she's.
She doesn't have much longer.
Yeah, but I mean, she what she was saying. I think if I can speak for Pat Benatar, which I know her personally on an intimate level. Oh yeah, you didn't know that?
That's sarcasm.
That's a little bit of sarcasm. I met her once. She's a great gal. Anyway. What she's trying to say is that love is like a battlefield. Like, you're running through, and you may not see this landmine.
There's all kinds of flak and all kinds of shooting around your head.
Oh, sure, you may not even notice it. But let's say you don't hit a landmine, and you get across the battlefield into, let's say, Germany, with your lover. You made it.
You can marry Adolf Hitler.
No. You know what you're trying to say, Brother Micah? Like,
well,
love isn't easy. Is love easy? Is loving God easy? Is loving God a battlefield?
That's a good question.
Well, love is always a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love is not based on emotions. It's not based on feelings. You know, love is a decision of the will.
Mm-hmm.
To seek the highest good of another person, be it God, be it your wife, or be it your fellow man.
Or peanut butter.
Now, you know, one of the problems is that a lot of people, they have no clue of what they're looking for and who they want to marry. They base it on looks. But they don't think long term.
Caller.
So they just get together based on convenience, and it's not love. It's
love
lust.
Is not convenient. It's not
lust,
the right caller.
Lust is selfish. Lust is in it for what it can get. People fornicate and sleep together because they use each other. They don't really love each other. Real love waits.
Repent. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm not able to be listening to the radio broadcast today, but I just want to put in my vote that I like Bob Dylan from last week.
Brother Michael, do you like Bob Dylan?
Thank you.
All right, have a great day, caller.
Mr. Jewish person.
Oh, Bob Dylan was Jewish? He's Jewish?
Yeah, Bob Dylan is Jewish.
Bob Dylan's Jewish?
That man actually is my father.
Oh,
Bob Dylan's your father?
Okay. Well, you know, today there's Jews for Jesus.
What?
You know, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Bob Dylan converted to Christianity and released the albums John Wesley Harding, and there's a slow train of coming based on his newfound Christianity.
Somebody told me something about that. I don't know enough about Bob Dylan personally to say whether he's a Christian or not. I don't know.
Well, he keeps most of his life.
But somebody else told me something about that.
Yeah, it's well known that John Wesley Harding, the 1975 album, was based on Christianity, and there's songs such as Slow Train of Coming and... And John Wesley Harding is about a preacher, I believe.
Hey, it's about you, Brother Micah. He wrote a song about you. Isn't that crazy?
It's not wonderful.
Isn't that... Did we find your wife at all?
I saw her a few minutes ago. All right.
She came in and then she left.
Oh.
She's an explorer, right? All right, so we were talking about courting. Do you have any advice for me? I would love to court a young woman, but it hasn't been working out for me much lately.
We tried using God?
Using God? I think you're not supposed to use God like breath spray, like...
than like in my hair? Like, what do you mean use God?
Well, the first thing, you need to get saved. You're not going to be able to have a proper relationship with somebody else till you have a proper relationship with God. Once you do that, once you get saved, you need to find God's direction for your life. And at that point, you'll know what kind of person you need to marry, so you know what to look for.
Mm-hmm. So when you get saved,
and you never, you don't ever settle for less than what you're looking. You don't compromise. If they're not what you're looking for, then you don't accept them.
If she's not the whole shebang, right, keep looking.
So if I had to choose between showering and God, which should I choose in trying to get a girl?
Are you trying to say what's more important, smelling good or having God?
Yeah, like you can't do both, can you?
If you have God, you're going to
Smell good automatically.
Yes, you're going to have good.
That's what that is. I noticed something. I thought it was polo, but it's God. That's the smell, right? Good.
Well, the Bible says
Second smell good.
2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, and them that are saved, and them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life.
On that note,
caller?
Caller, you're on the air.
Who is this?
This is John.
Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, John.
How's it going?
Good.
I have a question for Brother Micah.
Shoot.
I assumed.
The Bible, does Brother Micah think that Bible verses could be taken in different ways, or does he think that each one of them is like set in stone one thing? Because Matthew 3:16 says, but first seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I personally think that kingdom might mean a temple, body is a temple, girl's body.
I mean, I see where you're going.
You see where I'm going with this? I mean, it says it in the Bible. I mean, every person has his own feeling and has his own way of looking at each verse, and that's my verse, and that's the way I think about that verse, you know? So am I going to hell because I'm actually reading the Bible and interpreting it for my own self?
Yeah, you got all these verses that say, marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You're a whoremonger.
Whoremonger?
Yes, you're a male fornicator. That's a whoremonger. And the Bible says that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So I know you're insincere, you're very insincere. No, you're very insincere. You're a God mocker. But I'm going to address this.
Mocker.
Yes, you can't. You don't pull out.
What are you, Brother Micah? Brother Micah, you sit outside in the hot sun all day, basing in the sun, sunburn, whatnot. You probably have a burnt back because
it's Farmer Stan.
Farmer Stan. Okay, granted.
I don't have a farmer.
And you're just preaching God's word. But what's different from me than you?
I don't know.
I mean, you're studying the Bible. I'm studying the Bible. We're all doing the same thing. We're all going to heaven. It's a great party. Let's all get drunk.
We're not all going to heaven, and you're not studying the Bible.
Am I going to heaven?
No.
Why not?
No, you're not.
Because you're a whoremonger. You're, at the very least, you're an adulterer at heart. You probably talk a lot more than you're actually doing, but you are an adulterer at heart at the very least. And the Bible says adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. You got perversion in your heart. Jesus said if you look at somebody with lust in your heart, you commit adultery.
Let's see. Have you ever personally witnessed it? Oh, no. All right, hold on.
All right, we got a question for you after this caller.
Go ahead.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Justin.
Hey, Justin, what's going on? Got a question for Brother Micah?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead. Ask your question.
What makes a sinner?
What makes you a sinner? The ultimate intention of your life. When the ultimate intention of a person's life is to gratify themselves, that makes them a sinner.
I believe there's a Bible verse that you always quote.
Well, 1 John 3:8 says, "He that commits sin is of the devil."
It's something like, "He that satisfies himself and he."
Justin, do you satisfy yourself?
He that satisfies himself, and I know he does.
Justin, are you a self-satisfying life? Is everything you do for your own?
Are you all about yourself? Is it all me?
Come on.
I do know you, but I don't know you.
I don't know
you. In the sense that, are you really a sinner? You could be not a sinner. You could be a saint.
I'm not a sinner. I mean, the thing about it is that, I mean, I sin, like, I drink, whatever, I have premarital sex, whatever, but, like, what if you live your life, like, with morals and you're a good person? Like, I don't understand.
So you get drunk and have premarital sex, but you live your life with morals?
Yeah.
That sounds like a double standard to me, brother. Is that a double standard?
You can't be immoral and moral at the same time.
Well, I mean, I treat people with respect, and I do good things for people. I mean,
you can't be a feminist and give into the will of the man. And
let me tell
feminist.
You. Listen. Rapists probably open the door for old ladies when they're going in the grocery store, but they're not good people. Bank robbers probably do that. Your good deeds don't outweigh your bad deeds. It doesn't work that way. You don't have a mass murderer sitting in a courtroom and telling the judge, "Yes, judge, I murdered all these people, but I do give to charities." It doesn't work that way. One sin got Adam kicked out of the Garden of Eden. One sin got the angels kicked out of heaven.
Oh, man.
When Jesus Christ was made sin on the cross, God the Father had to turn his face away. The Bible said in Habakkuk 1:13 that God is of pure eyes and to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity. And the Bible said in James 2:10, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. You drink and have premarital sex because you are selfish.
You
live your life to gratify yourself.
You're just as bad as Adam.
Can we be honest with you? Can we be completely honest with you?
Just be careful.
All that stuff you just said to me, I have no idea what all that is.
It's called the Bible. It's a pretty popular book.
I know it's the Bible, but honestly, I never really read the Bible in my entire life.
So are you a Christian?
Well, you need to start.
I'm not really a religion. Honestly, I don't even know what I am, to tell you the truth.
Are you a man?
Yeah, I'm
that's good man. Enough for me. Thanks for calling in, Justin.
All right, no problem. Have a good day.
See, I think the problem is people don't actually live their life based on rules so much as what they feel. And yeah, people may not want to be good Christians.
Right,
well, that's a good point right there. People do live by feelings. Instead of by
instincts, they don't control their animal or their inherent instincts.
Well, we're created to live above. We don't live by instincts. Animals live by instincts. We are supposed to live by our conscience and our reason. God made man in His image. Mm-hmm. We didn't.
If God looks like me, He's pretty sexy. Caller, what's your question?
How's it going? I just wanted to apologize to Brother Micah my name's Tommy D. And I just want to apologize for everybody calling in and asking him stupid questions. My student body, I actually have a serious question to ask him.
Shoot, go ahead, buddy.
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
According to the Bible or according to Micah?
Oh, I don't
know. Whatever he wants to say. Whatever he wants to say. I really want to know.
I don't even know. Can woodchucks really chuck wood?
I personally think they could, but I really don't know how much. Sometimes I think it's about 10 pounds. Sometimes I think it's about 1,352.
So if Jesus was a woodchuck, how much would Jesus the woodchuck chuck if Jesus the woodchuck could chuck wood?
He would chuck all the wood. thank you.
Way to go, buddy.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Right. I said no.
On that note, all right. So there's a famous comedian who asked 20 questions. There's a question. Could God microwave a burrito so hot that even he couldn't eat it? I mean, yeah, do you find that humorous in a way? Like, it's a silly question, but could God microwave a burrito so hot even he couldn't eat it?
I mean, like, that's like talking about the omnipotence of God.
I think there's often response to testing.
Well, God has put limits. God has put limits on His power. God can't make you get saved against your will. God can't make you repent. So,
but God can make you eat a burrito that's really freaking hot.
It happened to me once.
God gave you a free will and He won't override it.
God gave us a free will. We chose to put the burrito in the microwave and make it too hot.
Yeah, I put it on 2 minutes 20 seconds. Right. The thing said 1 minute 30.
Right.
So it's your fault, sinner. Yeah. If you were a caller, I'd drop you right now.
I'm on the show.
Drop. All right, more importantly, what is the closest thing you've ever witnessed to a real life miracle?
Yes.
Let's see.
Is it the day you laid eyes on your wife? Is that considered a miracle?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's true love there.
Look, we got it. She's blushing a little bit.
Oh, man.
Well, my wife and I, we were friends. We were friends for about a year before we realized that we were going to get married and we started courting.
How long did you guys court before you tied the knot?
Oh,
You want to let her answer?
You don't have to answer if you don't.
A little over.
You want to throw in your two cents?
a little over 5 years.
That is a long time.
That's actually almost 6 years.
Wow. Sister Elizabeth, you want to scoot up a little bit and answer maybe a little bit? So when you first saw Brother Micah, what was the first thing you were thinking of?
Well, I really appreciated his love for God. Mm-hmm. That was the main thing that really attracted me to him. He always spoke about Jesus.
Aww.
And the Bible.
Isn't that lovely?
That's great.
All right, we have a caller.
All right, this is a caller. I think the love topic sparked some debate. Here we go. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Melissa. I have a question for Brother Micah.
Shoot, you're on the air. Go.
Go ahead.
All right, I was wondering, let's say hypothetically that I don't drink, don't smoke, don't have premarital sex, or do anything that you've previously said were sins. However, my best friend's gay, and I'm okay with that.
So you're going to hell?
That's a very, very good question.
Okay, well...
I myself am straight, and I'm Jewish, and I don't drink, smoke, or do drugs, or anything to that sense, but my friend's gay, and I'm all right with that. Does that mean I'm going to hell?
Well, if you're Jewish, if you're really a Jew, then you believe the Old Testament, which condemns homosexuality. And if you believe that somebody's condemned and you're going to allow them to continue in that lifestyle, then you really don't care about them. You're more concerned about what they think about you. You don't want to hurt their feelings. It's like you telling me, I don't drink, smoke, but my best friend is a slave owner, but I'm okay with that.
Well, it's just that I love them the way that they are, and as long as they're not hurting anyone else, like by being gay, they're not really hurting anyone, then I'm okay with that.
You speak of tolerance a lot. I believe that shows
homosexuality. As well as premarital heterosex spreads diseases.
Ooh. Well, you can marry
everybody. If everybody
takes certain precautions in order to make sure that they do not get diseases or pass on diseases, then I don't see why it's a problem.
Are you speaking of holy condoms?
If everybody became a homosexual, the human race would be destroyed.
I'm not saying that everyone should become a homosexual, but...
Right, just like everybody shouldn't become a murderer. Because if everybody was a murderer, there'd be no human race left. I am opposed, as God is opposed, as well as myself, to any type of behavior that is going to destroy the human race. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the homosexual activity going on in those cities.
But just because my one best friend is gay does not mean the entire population will be.
No, but your best friend is going to go to hell, and you need to let them know that they need to turn from their perversion.
It's your duty.
It's like, I'm a fireman. I have the ability to get somebody out of a fire, and I choose not to lift a finger to help them.
Well, I don't really think that's really...
It's a little bit extreme.
Yeah, it is extreme, because a fire is obviously going...
Well, we're talking... A building on fire, that's going to be temporal pain for a few minutes. Somebody going to hell...
People can die from that.
I've heard of these things. Yeah, they're dangerous.
When somebody goes to hell, that's for eternity. The Bible describes hell as everlasting fire, everlasting torment, everlasting punishment, everlasting destruction. What's that?
But I am religious, and I know that Jews do not believe in a purgatory like hell.
Oh, well, really? Well, your Old Testament, David said, "Thou will not leave my soul in hell."
Yeah.
Psalm 16.
Yeah, that's saying that he's not going to leave his soul in hell because he doesn't believe in hell. I'm not going to be going to hell because I don't believe in one. I believe in only heaven.
Daniel chapter 12 talks about a resurrection of the just and the unjust.
Meaning,
some are going to be resurrected to everlasting life, and some are going to be resurrected to everlasting condemnation.
Yep,
my favorite condemnation is mayonnaise.
And that's and if you're a Jew, you believe the Old Testament.
Hmm. Well, Melissa, we appreciate you calling in.
Best luck
to you and your best friend.
Yeah.
Well, I at least she seems sincere.
You seem sincere. Yeah. Have a good day.
All right.
See, that's a good argument though, because we as Jews, we don't believe in a hell.
Well,
so, I mean, by your standards, we may be going.
Well,
you as Jews, you don't believe
that Jesus was the Messiah either. But the book that you say you believe teaches that he is. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Wasn't it Jesus?
That's a verse there in the book of Isaiah talking about God, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, being born as a child. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26...
But that, wait, honestly, that could be just talking about that he has... This baby being born has God-like qualities where he may be pure and he may be fulfilling and he may be a good spirit.
Do you think that refers to Jesus being born now?
Absolutely. And in Isaiah 7:14 says, but behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel,
right,
which is God with us. That's right. A reference to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our own image.
Right.
That word there for us and our is the word Elohim, which means plural name for God. So it's talking about the Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
But you know the great thing about the Bible is, let me give you a reference here, and I'm going to try to be a little serious for a moment.
Okay.
Just like our Constitution, the United States, it was written with a lot of vagueness, a lot of unclarity, a lot of a lot of room for interpretation. That's why our Supreme Court has a lot of trouble dealing with unconstitutional cases because the Constitution doesn't lay down this is the law, this is not the law. Where the First Amendment says, you know, the right to free speech, the right to assembly, everything like that, the Second Amendment says the right to religion
is a major one.
Yeah, exactly. So just like, what if the Bible was written with vagueness and unclarity order for interpretation, where you as might take the Bible one way.
Well,
it's supposed to stand the test of time, so I mean, they have plenty of room for the future and the unknown.
A couple of things here.
Okay.
As far as Jesus being the Messiah, that is not open to interpretation. That's very clear from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. Yes, God could have been a lot more specific with every single issue. But if God were so specific, then we would not necessarily need a relationship with God. God wants us to depend upon Him, upon a relationship with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you, and He, the Spirit of God, will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You can't read the Bible, and the Bible's going to tell you you're supposed to marry so-and-so. You can't read the Bible, and the Bible's going to tell you which job to get. God could have been a lot more specific about a lot of things. We're supposed to read the Bible and apply its principles.
It's a faith-based thing, right? It's based on faith.
But don't you think that Martin Luther and Calvin, all these people who try to reform the entire Christian faith, don't you think they each took their own interpretation of the Bible?
Yeah, they try to make it more deliberate.
So each person that interprets the Bible can't make their own religion out of it. So you preach how you think the Bible is supposed to be interpreted, because you know not everyone believes what you think. You know that.
Well, Steve, I don't. There's certain things there that I'm not sure about, and I give my opinion on those things. But those are not things that are essential to somebody's eternal salvation. When I come out here, I have a very simple message. I only speak authoritatively on things that are going to concern somebody's eternal salvation. My simple message out here is basically one of repentance. Acts 20 verse 21, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And so, as far as moral choices, that is not open to interpretation. I don't preach that this is wrong because the Bible says it's wrong. This is right because the Bible says it's right. What I believe, what I preach, is that God says this is wrong because it is wrong. God says it's right because it is right. God is love, God is good, and God will not change as far as His character goes. And so anything that's good, anything that's love, God is in agreement with. Anything that's selfish, anything that's wicked, God is opposed to.
All right, let me tell you this. these are all things that, you know, the way these are the way you think it, and these are your, as you say, truths. There's no denying it. You say God is this, and you say God is that.
Denial.
Yeah, you are saying these things, but let me just tell you, there are probably about 17,000 million people who could each look at that Bible and take something else out of it. So, just because they don't think that what you're saying is the truth and the thing, why don't you put more emphasis on not words, but actions? Like, people who do good. Not people who say they are love. People who say they are this. This is that. Black is black. White is white. If the same person looks at what you and I look at and gets a different interpretation of it, does that mean it's wrong?
Okay, one thing. The author of the Bible is God. God the Holy Ghost. In order to understand the Bible, a person has got to have an honest, open heart to know the truth of God. The Bible talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3, them that take the Scriptures and they wrest them to their own destruction. In 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul said, "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God." So people can corrupt the Word of God. They can adulterate the Word of God. They can make it say what they want it to say to fit their own agenda. In order to understand the Bible, you've got to have a heart for truth. The Bible says in James 1:22, "Be ye therefore doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." If somebody merely hears the word of God, they don't try to apply it, they don't try to do it, then they're going to deceive themselves. Pride is a deceptive thing. A proud person will never understand the Bible. Psalm 10:4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Obadiah 1:3 says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you." Jeremiah 9:6 says, "Your habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me." People refuse to know God because of deceit. Why are they deceived? They're deceived because of pride. It goes like this. See, when somebody resists truth, it's because of pride. They have their own agenda. Somebody begins to walk in pride, they begin to deceive themselves. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12 says, "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So somebody is deceived because they don't love the truth, and they have pleasure in unrighteousness.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Right, I have a question.
All right, you go ahead first.
All right, so, on a different note. People see you around, you have your jug of water, and you have your Bible. Don't you think?
And my camelback.
Yeah, really.
And my hat.
Don't you think you would look much cooler if you had a big cross carrying, like, a big cross with you at all times? And you look like maybe a stake, like a wooden stake.
Like, yeah, but that wouldn't really do much for this message.
No?
All right, thank you for the retarded question. Let me ask you a better question. Now, you said that, and I know it's in the Bible, that we're all created in God's image. Now, literally, that could mean all of us look like God and he has like 50 million faces. Or,
that's a different God.
Hold on. Or you could interpret what he says. And you can interpret what he says that, you know, we're all made in his image in the sense that God's a loving, caring person who may be completely different than anybody else. I mean, we're all obviously very different people.
He's human, or kind of. He's human, but he's not.
Like, if they made God into a Barbie, like if God was like Ken, for example, he wouldn't be this, that, he wouldn't have these dimensions, he wouldn't be whatever he is. He would be a thing. But since God's not a thing, God is more of... And do you see God as a person? Just yes or no? Do you think God's a person?
Yes, God is a person.
Okay, so God is a person.
The Bible talks about God as a person. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there's one God and one mediator between God and men,
and that's Jesus,
the
right?
man, Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. It says in Acts 17.
Well, we're not debating that Jesus was, because most faiths, actually every faith, if you go across the line, believes Jesus Christ was a person. He was a human being that he existed. Mm-hmm. The differentiation.
He was made of flesh and bone.
The differentiation comes from whereas Christians see him as a direct link between God and humans, God and the mortal man. There are Muslims who believe that Jesus was a prophet. That Jesus was one of the great prophets.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. Because the Muslims believe that Jesus was a true prophet.
Right.
And a true prophet can't lie.
Right, but they have a lie prophet.
And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life.
No other way to go.
No man comes to the Father but by me. So right. If Jesus was a true prophet and a true prophet can't lie, then according to Jesus, Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus, and every other religion is condemned because the only way to God is through him.
Right, but they may believe that. But there's also, in the Muslim religion, there's hundreds upon thousands of prophets. There's hundreds of prophets who all say the exact same thing that Jesus said. So,
what makes Jesus stand out from the rest? Jesus, number one, Jesus was God manifest. The Bible says God, 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. Number two, Jesus never sinned. 1 Peter 2:22 says he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth.
Right.
Hebrews 4:15 says he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. 1 Peter
says
he gave himself as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Number three, Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible says in Acts 3:26, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus,
right.
Send him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities.
Call, I got a question?
Yeah. I think if you guys can do this in the remaining time, I think I'm ready to devote my life to Jesus. I'm pretty much ready. I just need to
praise your name. What's your name? Say loud. Proud.
This is James.
This is James?
Yes.
And James, you're ready to give yourself to God?
I've had people say they were going to help me do it, but I just don't think anybody knows it quite like Micah, so I think I'm ready.
So you've come to realize that Micah is the best way to handle your conversion factor.
Yes, he's the most knowledgeable man about the Bible that I've ever encountered.
He does know the Bible very well. Okay, well, Micah, do you want to take this opportunity to save this?
What's your name, James?
James, yes.
Yeah, James. You need to go get on your face before God. You need to humble yourself before God and call on God to save you.
I've done that before. He doesn't answer me.
Well, because you haven't repented. The Bible says in John 9:31, we know that God hears not sinners.
The Bible says there's instructions on how to do this.
Bible said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The reason why God didn't hear you, the reason why God didn't answer you, because you were insincere.
Buddy, are you sincere right now?
You gotta be sincere.
Are you crying or drunk?
We'll direct 911 to your location, sir.
Yeah, if God's listening, he's not really being sincere.
Yeah, you got Sister Elizabeth bringing her hand to her forehead.
The Bible says that you're an idiot.
He's possessed. I think he's possessed.
Oh,
you know, do you realize that Jesus twice in Matthew 23 called people fools?
Really? He said fools?
Like Mr.
Yes,
Chief?
Yes, he did.
He pities the fools?
Jesus pities the fools?
Yeah, he does pity the fools.
Does Jesus
was
have a mohawk?
Was on the A-Team? I never saw the show.
If Jesus was on the A-Team, it'd be a better show, though. Probably.
You guys are got all this 80s stuff. That's
well, we're cultured youth. That's the beauty of college. You learn a lot of crap you never knew you wanted to know.
Yeah, seriously.
Man, you guys are surprising me here.
Well, you know what? We surprise many people. I just want to let you know that if you didn't know this, we're actually regarded as the two most attractive people on campus.
We've been voted. It's been served.
So, really, it's an honor for you to be even sitting. I mean, it's an honor for us to be sitting next to you, but it's also an honor for you to be sitting next to us. So, I'll take it the opportunity to say you're
thank
welcome.
Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
And you're welcome.
Well, Steve and Alan, I guess if nobody else is telling you that, keep telling yourself that.
All right. Well, you know,
my mom tells me that, actually. My mom tells me I'm the best.
I just got a wonderful idea. So, I'm hearing the word surprise. I think over the next few years, we should work on a surprise coming back party for Jesus. It's like, get balloons and...
Make a pinata.
you better be ready.
You better
be ready for Jesus
Does
coming
Walmart
back.
Does Walmart sell a Jesus survival guide? Like, if you buy this packet, it's like $80, I'm sure, at Walmart. and you have yourself a complete party kit.
You know what? You know what? I do believe that Walmart sells Bibles. So yes, you can. You can. You can get a Jesus survival guide at Walmart. I do believe they sell Bibles. I don't know if they sell King James Bibles, which is the only Bible you ought to buy. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 34-36.
You sell shop at Walmart.
Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, lest that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Let me tell you, you know, I remember last year we were out here. I think it was the last week of November of 06.
I was here for that.
And my wife, maybe you were here for this. My wife, there was a girl here that claimed to be a stripper, and I believe she was. She actually was.
Did she prove it?
Yes, she was stripping down.
Uh-huh.
And my wife gave her a Bible, a Gideon's Bible, and she began to take the paper out of the Bible and roll it up and smoke it.
So, really what you're trying to say is...
They don't make good papers.
There are better rolling papers out there than the King James Bible?
Gideon's Bible, right.
The Bible is not made for rolling paper. The Bible is meant to read, apply, and obey.
Well, and Gideon, it seems, had broken his dreams, you know.
What's that?
It's a song from the 70s, only to find Gideon's Bible.
That's Rocky Raccoon.
Rocky Raccoon.
Rocky went up to his room
only to find Gideon's Bible. And Gideon, it seemed, had broken his dream. You know, you know what you're trying to say here? You can find a lot of scripture in music. Musical scripture is the accepted vernacular, I believe it's called. Do you listen to Christian rap or rock?
No, I don't.
Disco?
That's the shortest answer you give in the entire show. No, that's three words.
Yeah, holy crap.
That was beautiful. I appreciate that.
The Bible says Bible says in Ephesians, Ephesians 5, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And to me, Christian rock and Christian rap do not qualify as psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs.
I think you could actually find more spiritual.
Well, wait, what about?
I've never met anybody that has victory over sin in their life that listens to Christian rock and Christian rap. I don't believe that there's much difference between the. I don't believe there's much difference between the Christian music industry and the secular music industry.
Tammy Faye listens to Christian rap all the time, though.
Tammy Faye's dead and in hell now.
Well, in hell. That shut me up. She's in hell?
Tammy Faye?
Yeah, she's in hell.
Do you know what Tammy Faye did? Never repented.
What didn't she do?
Yeah, good. What didn't she do?
Right?
She certainly wasn't a Christian.
Well, she was actually on a TV show. Did you see her on a TV show?
Yeah,
she was on Surreal Life with Vanilla Ice, your favorite person.
What a coincidence.
Tammy Faye and Vanilla Ice in the same studio.
Right, we have a few minutes left in the show. We're going to accept one or two final callers. 407-823-4585. This could be your last chance to talk.
Have you ever seen Jerry Springer? Do you ever TiVo Jerry Springer?
I don't watch any television, but I know who Jerry Springer is.
Yeah, well, at the end of his show, he has a final thought. It really wraps up what you're trying to say in about two sentences, three sentences.
It's the finale. It's... the summary, what does he want to get across?
I want Brother Micah's...
Work on it. You have a few minutes. Work on it.
Well, you know,
No Bible verses. What you think? What you feel?
Just your own words.
Well, I'll say I kind of apologize for all these insincere callers making your school look so bad. I don't think that really represents a good portion. Well, I'm going to say this. Yes, there are people like that on this campus, but the majority of students on this campus, as I've been preaching here, seem to have fairly good questions.
Okay, let's
seem to be fairly sincere and fairly good listeners.
All right,
we got one last caller.
Caller.
You're the final caller of the day. What do you have to say?
I noticed that I was listening on air, and I noticed that every time somebody called and asked if they could give their heart and soul a little to the Lord, he never led them into that salvation prayer. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit that helps you to change your life. You just have to confess.
Ma'am, what is your name?
Sheila Hodges.
Sheila, okay.
You really need to say four things. Believe that Jesus is.
Oh, please turn on your speakers on your radio.
Sheila.
Hello?
Sheila.
Can you hear us, Sheila?
Can I answer her?
Yeah, just go ahead and...
Go ahead, Sheila. Hope you're listening right now.
Yes, I also wanted to say, it's only four simple things. Just believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that he died on the cross for them. And accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and ask them to forgive them of their sins. It's not nothing that they're going to do. It's what the Holy Spirit is going to do to them.
Sheila, Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repentance is not something that God does for you. Repentance is something you do. You said all you need to do is believe in Jesus Christ. James 2:19 says, you believe in one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Believing in God doesn't make you any better than the devil. You got to obey Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven.
I just want to bring this up to you. I am a pastor also, and you know, people, when they come to you, they need a way to fight. They don't know everything. So if you put them down, everything they're saying, and if you just turn them off, I mean, that might be the last chance that they get before they go out and get hit by a truck. To give their heart and soul over to the Lord. And you just need to tell them what they need to do for the salvation prayer and leave the rest up to God. We really have to leave something to God.
Let me tell you, you talked about all you need to do is confess your sins. You need to do more than that. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. God's mercy is conditional. It's not unconditional. And until a person not only confesses their sins, but also forsakes their sins, God is not going to have mercy on them. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. And you know where the fear of God comes from? From people realizing that their sin is going to send them to hell. Jesus said,
because how do you know when they're supposed to leave you, they're not going to get hit by a truck and die, and then that death is going to be on you.
So what, Sheila?
Because you turned them away and been given an opportunity to be involved in that salvation prayer, because only God can see their heart.
So right before they die, are you trying to say, like, if someone, before they die, the last thing they hear is Brother Micah telling them that they're going to hell? That may be the last thing they ever hear in their life.
He's just treating every opportunity like it's not a class.
What you say, it's what they're going to do. They need to open their mouth and confess that they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's how they're going to get saved.
Very true.
That's how they're going to get saved.
Yeah, well, if he's your Lord and Savior, you don't keep on sinning. You got to stop.
I heard that man called you 3 times when asking for that salvation prayer, and you turned him away. All you need to do is 4 simple things. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, believes that he died on the cross for you.
The devil believes that, Sheila. The devil believes that, Sheila.
The Bible says that person is not sincere. Only God knows that.
I told him if he wants to get saved, he needs to go find an altar and get on his face and seek after God.
Aren't you a preacher?
What's that?
Aren't you a preacher?
I'm a preacher, but I'm not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of Micah shall be saved.
It says, if you're an evangelist, you need to be leading people to Christ.
It says,
And they could be getting killed right now.
Romans 10:13 doesn't say whosoever calls on the name of Micah shall be saved. It says whosoever shall calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
A salvation prayer. This is the way we do it.
Sheila, you give me chapter and verse for a salvation prayer in the Bible.
You want me to go get it right now? Because I have the book right here.
Yeah, I'm waiting. Where did Jesus ever... Yeah, where did Jesus pray a salvation prayer with somebody? Where did the apostles pray a salvation prayer with somebody?
Here.
Let me tell you something. Here. Acts chapter 2...
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus.
Yeah, I know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says. Where I'll ask for a specific example of Jesus Christ or Paul or Peter or one of the apostles praying a salvation prayer with somebody the way you're talking about. It's not in there, Sheila. I'm going to tell you what Acts chapter 2 says. After the apostles preach, you know what they said? What must we do to be saved? You know what they told them? They said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
You know what I'm going to pray for you through intercession prayer, because every day,
Sheila, are you a sinner?
Every person that goes out there and dies because you did not lead them to Christ, it's on your head.
It's
on your head. So you need to change. You need to go back to Grace Church and learn how to lead people to Christ so that they can be saved. Because what's going to happen is every time they walk out and get hit by a truck, that death is on the blood is on your hands.
The blood's going to be on your hands.
I will pray for you though.
Well, it's not going to do any good because you're a sinner.
All right, wow.
That was beautiful. That was intense.
I wish the whole show would have been that way.
I think on that note, actually, I'm going to go cry, and then we're going to end the show.
You know what? It was quite an amazing show.
Brother Michael, we appreciate you having you here. You are a great addition to this cast. We have an open seat waiting for you anytime you're here on campus. If you want to stop,
I appreciate it. I really enjoyed it. And
if you're in the area on a Sunday, got to come over here.
Okay, and I enjoyed being on the show. It was a privilege, and I really appreciate this university, and I appreciate the students here.
And you have the call number, and we're expecting a call from Brother Mike anytime. Anytime you want to call and just say,
there's a number right there. You write that number down. I'll write it down for you. How about that? You just call in.
You got it on the paper.
You got it on the paper. That's why I don't even need to be doing that right now.
He's set, man. He's ready to roll.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Two Guys, One Mike show.
Thank you, Brother Micah.
Thank you, Brother Micah.
Thank you.
All right, let's clap for him. Clap for yourself. You're a good guy. All right, guys. All right, we'll see you next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
We'll see you next Sunday.